On Saturday, we celebrated Saint Joseph the Worker. Saint Joseph is still here in the sanctuary, which is a good reminder to us. We're still in the year of Saint Joseph. But I won't be surprised if now that we have finished the two liturgical celebrations in honor of Joseph, and we have already made our consecration, I won't be surprised if Joseph fades into the background again, because he's not a very prominent figure. He's easy to overlook. In that sense, he's very apostolic, because the apostles, as great as they are, as important as they are, they fade into the background. And today's saints, Philip and James, two of the 12 apostles, fit into this pattern. We don't really know very much about them. We might even know more about Joseph than we know about James or Philip, maybe about the same. But in any case, we don't know very much. They're not that prominent. And this same pattern we can identify this same pattern in the lives of lots of saints. Perhaps there are many, many saints who we don't even know at all because they're so seemingly insignificant, but they're great in the kingdom. So today, Philip and James. Philip is mentioned in today's gospel. He's the one who asks Jesus to show them the Father. Philip is a little bit prominent in the Gospels. He's the one who is from Bethsaida. He's from the same village as Peter and Andrew and James and John, so probably knew them well enough. He's the one who went to get Nathanael, remember? When he discovered Jesus was the Messiah, he went to Nathanael, who we know as Bartholomew, and he said, "We found him. We found the one Moses spoke about." That's when Nathanael gives his famous reaction, what good can come from Nazareth? So Philip knows at least five of the others pretty well. Philip is the one who Jesus tested at the multiplication of the loaves. "Oh, how can we feed all these people, Philip?" And Philip says, "We can't. Even if we had 200 days' wages, it wouldn't even be enough." And then today's gospel is where Philip says, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." At least it shows Philip's heart. He wants to see the Father. Now, he wasn't thinking of Joseph, and Jesus wasn't talking about Joseph. But in some ways, since we're pondering St. Joseph all year, Joseph shows us the Father. He's a shadow of the Father. Jesus, of course, shows us the Father perfectly. But Joseph, in an imperfect way, also shows us the Father. That's Philip. Anyway, Philip is the one who wants to see the Father. James is mentioned in today's first reading as one of the witnesses to the resurrection. This is not James, son of Zebedee, James and John. This is the other James, sometimes called James the Lesser, to distinguish from James the Greater. Or in that video, they call James the Greater, James, Big James. And this James, today's saint, they call Little James. I don't know if that's exactly the translation, but he is certainly of lesser importance and prominence among the 12. James is the one who, it seems, grew to greater prominence in the Jerusalem community. After the first James was martyred, the other James became the leader of the Jerusalem church. And the tradition is that he wrote the epistle of James, the epistle that Martin Luther didn't like very much. He thought it shouldn't even be included in the Bible, because that epistle of James stresses the importance of works as an expression of faith, and Luther didn't like that. It went against his theology. But anyway, that's the James we're honoring today. If you listen to the scholars, you will hear them argue about how many Jameses there really were. Because there's James, son of Alphaeus, that's this one. There's James, the author of the epistle. There's James, brother of the Lord. And there's James, who's the head of the Jerusalem community. And the tradition is that they're all the same person, but the scholars say, well, maybe it's different. So, and if they argue among themselves, how can we resolve that? We're not experts in the Greek language and ancient history. Anyway, my point is, we just don't know that much about these men. As important as they are, foundation stones of the whole church, and yet they remain obscure. In movies about the life of Jesus, there's always a group of bearded, long-haired men hanging around him, the apostles. And sometimes it is hard to tell which one is which. You can usually tell which one's Peter, and usually John doesn't have a beard, so you can usually tell who's John. Judas usually stands out. But which one is James? Which one is Philip? Which one's Matthew? Well, in that series we're watching, Matthew doesn't have a beard, so he's easy to spot. He dresses differently than the others. But in a typical Bible movie, the apostles, they kind of look all the same. And that's not the fault of the movie makers. It's in the scriptures themselves. They're not that distinguishable. It doesn't mean that they were the same. Obviously, they weren't. Completely different personalities, gifts, weaknesses. And the fruit of their following of Jesus has its own uniqueness. But they're all branches on the same vine. And in that sense, all the same. It's true of all the disciples and all the saints. Yesterday I said that we can't compare Saint Athanasius and Saint Mother Teresa. But they're the same in the sense that they're both branches on the same vine. The same life flows through them. And in the case of the apostles, the same life flows through them, and they proclaim the same gospel. It's interesting that for the liturgy today, the first reading is not taken from the Epistle of James. Instead, we read from a letter of St. Paul, the first epistle to the Corinthians, because he mentions James. But Paul, who about whom we know more than about any of the apostles, is he identifies himself as the least of the apostles. Here in this reading, which is, I think, very well chosen, because Paul makes it clear that what he wants everyone to know is the gospel itself, not the apostles. Apostles don't proclaim themselves. They proclaim the gospel. They proclaim the kingdom of God. And if they don't get noticed, who cares? So here Paul, telling the essentials of the gospel, says, this is what I received, this is what you received from me, and this is how you're saved, by the word that has been preached to you. I hand it on to you as of first importance, what I also received. So what's of first importance? The gospel of Jesus Christ, not the messenger. And then what's the gospel? Christ died. He doesn't even mention the cross this time. It's interesting. He's just, Christ died for our sins. That's of first importance. He was buried, meaning he was really dead. There was a dispute about whether among the heretics about whether he died or not. So he really died. He was really buried. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. That's of first importance. And that's what we celebrate in the Easter season, the resurrection. And he appeared to all these people. And this is another concrete aspect of the gospel message. This is not a mythical or fictional or created account of some great figure from the past. Here's a guy we saw after he was dead. We saw him. Cephas, that's Peter, saw him. The 12 saw him. 500 people saw him at one time. Most of them are still alive. It's a very concrete fact. After that, he appeared to James. That's the James we're honoring today. Then to all the apostles. So he kept on appearing. He was really alive. Last of all, as one born abnormally, he appeared to me. So Paul's claim to be able to testify to the gospel is that he saw the risen Lord and he received the same gospel that he's handing on to us. I looked up this passage because I was curious about what Paul was really trying to get at. Here it ends at verse 8, chapter 15, verse 8. Last of all, as to one born abnormally, he appeared to me. But if you continue the reading with verse 9, this is what he says. For I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. This is true of every apostle and all of us. Not because we're worthy or unworthy, but because of God's grace. I am what I am, and his grace to me has not been ineffective. Indeed, I have toiled harder than all of them. Sounds like he's boasting again, huh? Putting himself first. And then he says, well, not I, however, but the grace of God that is with me. So he starts to say, I worked harder than they did. Well, actually, no. God did more in me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach and so you believe. In the end, he says, doesn't matter if it's me or them, if it's Philip, James, Paul, or anybody else. What's important is what was proclaimed and what was believed, the gospel. Their message goes out through all the earth. Whose message? The apostle's message. Which apostle? It doesn't matter. It's the same message. The apostolic tradition is handed on from James and from John, from Philip and from James, from Peter and Andrew, and all the rest. So this is what we celebrate. This is what we have received, and this is what we also have to give. 500 years in the Philippines of receiving and giving, gifted to give. That's the apostolic mission. Receive the gospel, give the gospel. And don't make a big deal of yourself.